Psalm 23, we're working our way through this short psalm, but for a short psalm, it sure packs a punch. It packs a lot in it. Psalm 23, and we're going to read verses 2 and 3. This will be our text this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, Psalm 23 is one of the most quoted psalms in the Bible, and there's a reason for that. The reason is because it's one of the most comforting psalms in the Bible. It's the psalm that when you need to draw strength, you can draw strength from it. When you need to draw comfort, you can draw comfort from it. We need to draw encouragement from Psalm 23. It's there for you to draw comfort from. Make no mistake, these six verses, Psalm 23, this psalm is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I know it's in the Old Testament. And I know David wrote it 1,000 years before Jesus was born, but this psalm is about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. And every line in this psalm is about what he does for us. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But this psalm is not only about the Lord. Psalm's also about us. Every line of this psalm is about what is ours when we belong to the Lord. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, we saw last time that the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep is defined by ownership. So when you make the statement, the Lord is my shepherd, that's what you're saying. You're saying, he owns me. The shepherd owns me. The Lord owns me. Last time we saw that when a shepherd takes ownership of a sheep, he does it by one of two ways. That sheep is either bought into the flock or born into the flock. Every sheep in a flock is in that flock one of those two ways. But you see, for us Christians, that's true. Both of those things are true about all of us. We've all been bought into the flock of God. We've all been born into the flock of God. We were bought, we were purchased with his blood. His blood purchased us. We've been purchased by the blood of cross, by the blood of Christ. And we've been born into his flock. We've been born into his flock by his word, his living and enduring word. So we are his sheep and he is our shepherd. We are the flock of God and he owns us. So what does a shepherd do for a flock that he owns? And that's what this series is going to be about. What does a shepherd do for a flock that he owns? You see, Psalms 23 is a job description for a shepherd. You want to know what a shepherd did or what a shepherd does? You read this psalm. Everything in it is what a shepherd does for his sheep. So we are his sheep. He is our shepherd. So we're asking the question, what does a shepherd do for the sheep? And the answer to that question is fivefold, according to this psalm. Because he owns us, he will lead us, restore us, protect us, provide for us, and love us. So today we're going to deal with the first one. He protects us. He leads us. My bad. He leads us. You know, this idea of being led by the sheep is important to David, so important that he mentions it twice here. He said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What a blessing it is to be owned by the shepherd, and that shepherd leads me. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Being led is one of the defining factors of a sheep. If you're a sheep, you must be led. I want you to see that David states this as fact. Here's what a shepherd does. He leads the flock. Paul puts it like this in the New Testament. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So where does he lead us? In this psalm, David said he leads us into two things. Number one, he leads us into rest. And number two, he leads us into righteousness. Those are the two things that he leads us into. So what exactly does that mean? We're going to try and break it down for you this morning. I want to examine these few verses here and what it means to be led by the shepherd. Number one, the good shepherd leads us into rest. He leads us into rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, when you hear the words green pastures, it makes you think, grazing. He's feeding them. He's providing for them. And while that's true, that's not the main point of this verse. See, we're going to get to him feeding us later. We're going to get to him providing for us later when we get to the table and the cup. But right now, that's not the main. The main point here is not the feeding. The main point here is the resting. He makes me lie down. Listen to that word. He makes me lie down. Then he says he leads me beside the still waters. So now I've got two things that immediately jump out at me. I've got two things that jump out to me that aren't the same, that aren't normal, that are tweaked a little different. That should make us stop and say, wait a second, something here's... He's trying to tell me something. He makes me lie down. I don't just lie down. He makes me do it. And then he just doesn't lead me beside the waters. He leads me beside the still waters. You see, sheep are scared of moving water. They're scared of it. You know, a sheep falls in, that fleece is that's going to soak up that water and weigh that sheep down, and it's going to drown. So fast-moving, loud water, they scare the sheep. The sheep are skittish. So the shepherd, what the shepherd does is he dams up the river and makes a still pool of water so the sheep can drink. And these are pictures of rest. Just imagine in your mind a lush, green meadow with pools of still water all through it. The sheep are being led to rest. I've got three observations about rest. Observation number one. Rest does not come easily or naturally to the sheep. Rest does not come easily or naturally to the sheep. Why is it so difficult for sheep to rest? Why is that? Because sheep are very timid creatures. Most animals in the animal kingdom have some kind of defense mechanism. Well, sheep only have one, and that's to run. It's the only defense mechanism that they have. That's why when a dog barks, they run off. So how can a sheep lie down if it's so vulnerable? For many of us, it's hard to rest. For many of us, we don't know when to stop. We chase, we strive. We run at the job, in parenting, in life. And be honest with me, sometimes in your life, rest feels like a luxury. It absolutely does. Maybe in your life, there's a problem that you can't solve. Maybe in your life, there's a challenge that's overwhelming you. Maybe in your life, there's a battle that's plaguing you. There's a battle in your life that you fear, and your mind won't let you rest. You think to yourself, how am I going to get through this? You lay awake at night and you stare at the ceiling and this situation replays over and over in your mind and you keep going back in time. You think, man, I should have said this. I should have said that. You need rest from this mental battle going on in your mind and you can't find it. Even if you do go to sleep, you still wake up tired because you've been wrestling with this on the inside. David's been there. It's very clear from this psalm that rest did not come easily and did not come naturally to David. And when you think about his life, I mean, being chased by Saul, being leader of a divided country, his family dysfunction and all the responsibilities that he carried on his shoulders, it's no wonder it was hard for David to find rest. But he still said, "The Lord makes me lie down." Observation number two, sheep rest when they can see their shepherd. Sheep are only going to lie down when they see the shepherd. That's the only time they're going to do it. It's the only time they feel safe. An incident happened to me when I was younger. It didn't happen to me, but it happened and I was there. I was very young. In fact, I was thinking back, and it's one of the oldest memories that I have. I was young, maybe even younger than these kids up here. I was very, very, very young. One of the earliest memories that I have is somebody coming into our yard at night and my dad grabbing a gun and running out in the yard and chasing him away. I remember it just like it was yesterday. I remember the words that my dad used. They weren't Christian. But my dad ran, and listen, we lived out in the country. We didn't live in town. Somebody in our yard, they're in our yard for a purpose. I'll never forget that night. But it did something to me. It made an impression on me. And there were times growing up when my dad, for one reason or another, wouldn't be at home. Maybe he'd go on a trip with his guy friends, or he'd be off somewhere. My dad was a barber inspector, so sometimes he had to travel. And, you know, when he's not there at night, there's a level of fear that sets in. But when daddy's home, that fear goes away. Because I know he'll take care of anything that happens. Put yourself in the position of a sheep. You're vulnerable. You don't have any defense. The only defense you have against the predators in the world is to run. So if you feel fear, what are you going to do? You're going to stay on your feet. You have to always stay ready to run. But when you see the shepherd, you can lie down. Because if the coyote comes, the shepherd will take care of the coyote. Because the shepherd is there. He'll deal with the coyote. You can rest. But once the shepherd leaves the field, you have to stay ready to run. David says, "My shepherd makes me lie down." And here's how, verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." David jumps right to the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And even in the worst case scenario, David still says, "I have nothing to fear because my shepherd is with me. I know he's with me and I can rest." Observation number three. The way to find rest is to keep the shepherd in view. The way to find rest is to keep the shepherd in view. The shepherd does not keep the sheep safe or does not give the sheep rest by getting rid of the danger. That's not how it works. Coyotes are still out there. The wolves are still out there. The lions and the bears, they're still out there. The shepherd doesn't get rid of the lions and the bears, but the sheep are still lying down. Why? Because the shepherd's in view. It's his presence that gives them rest. See, when you're fearful, you can't rest. Scared people don't sleep. We said that in our Jonah series. Scared people don't sleep. So until you deal with your fear, you will have no rest. And here's how you address your fears. You say to yourself, "I do not face this alone. The shepherd is with me. The shepherd is the Lord God Almighty." And when you keep the shepherd in the windshield, that is when you will find rest. Psalm 4:8, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell safely." How do I keep the shepherd in view? Well, I stay in the Word where I can hear his voice. I pray, because if I can talk to him, that means he's close by. I obey him, because if I obey him, he'll lead me. I stay with this fellowship of people. I stay in the flock because when I wander away from this community and this fellowship, I'm getting further away from Him. I'm getting further away from the shepherd. I let Him lead. I let Him set the pace because sometimes I want to run off and He says, I'm not ready for that. Sometimes you need to lie down. If you don't listen to Him, He'll make you lie down. Sometimes I just have to trust that He's near. Sometimes you're going to be going through life and it's going to be dark. And you're going to be going through a dark time. And you're not going to see anybody around you. You must let see the shepherd. And you're not going to see the presence of the Lord. So what do you do in the dark times? You still have to trust that He's there because He promised He would be. That's how you find rest. Number two, the good shepherd leads us into righteousness. He leads us into the paths of righteousness. I want you to notice that He leads us beside the still waters, but then He also leads us down the paths of righteousness. Now, Christian, the Christian life is not all about rest. Yes, there's a time to rest, but then there's a time to do. There's a time to go. There's a time to walk down the path. Yes, sometimes I go beside the still waters and hang out and swim and have a good time, but there are other times He makes me walk down the path. Sometimes I just have to go. I need the rest so I have the strength to follow Him down the right path. The Bible talks about righteousness in two different ways. First type of righteousness is the righteousness that I get from Christ, and the second type of righteousness is the righteousness I'm called to live out to other people. Paul tells us that we're to be found not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. See, we become righteous by the righteousness that Christ gives us. Here's how it works. When He was alive on this earth, He lived a perfect, sinless, righteous life. And when He died on the cross, that righteous life is offered to you. And it is all the righteousness you will ever need. But that righteousness doesn't become yours until you become His. Paul said, I don't want to be found having my own righteousness. I want the righteousness that comes by faith in Christ. So that's the first type of righteousness. Second type of righteousness is to which he calls us to. 1 Peter 2:24, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live the righteousness. See, when the Lord is your shepherd, He's going to lead you down the paths of righteousness. He's going to lead you down the right path, help you make the right decisions to live a righteous life. So I want to make some observations about what it's like to walk down the right path in your life. Observation number one. The right path will not always be the easy path. We can see this in this psalm. Yes, sometimes He leads you beside the green pastures and the still waters. But there, in verse 4, He takes you through the valley of the shadow of death. In verse 5, you're in the presence of your enemies. So the path isn't always the easy path. But in those difficult places, that's where the shepherd leads you. Not every path is going to be green grass and still waters. Jesus, one time, led His disciples through a storm. But He was with them in the storm. And it was in that storm that they saw His glory. And it was in that storm that they learned that they could trust Him in the storm. And sometimes that's why He leads us through the storm. Sometimes He won't lead you beside the water. Sometimes He'll lead you through it. Even if it's a tsunami, He'll lead you through it. Psalm 77, 19 and 20. Your way was in the sea and your paths in the mighty waters. Your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Sometimes the right path seems impossible. When the children of Israel were going through the Red Sea, that they saw no way forward. But God made a way through the Red Sea. You know, sometimes God will put, listen to me, God will put an impossible obstacle in your life that is impossible for you to go through just to show you that He can move it. just as she puts it there. It's a mountain that's impossible for you to climb, but he does it just to show you that he can bring you through it. He can take you to the other side. There will be times when you won't detect the presence of God. When God was leading the Israelites through the Red Sea, they didn't see his footprints in the mud, but they knew he was still leading them through it. Sometimes God's ways may seem like a mystery to us, but you can be sure of this. He's there even if his footprints remain unseen. Observation number two, where the shepherd leads is always the right path. Okay, now the shepherd is responsible for the sheep, but the sheep are not the shepherd's only responsibility. The shepherd also has to manage the land. If you bring the sheep to a pasture and those sheep feed, and they feed and they feed and they feed, and the grass is gone. If you don't move them, they'll eat the roots. And once they eat the grass roots, that land becomes barren. So the sheep don't know when it's time to move on, but the shepherd does. The shepherd has to manage the line, has to manage the land. And when the shepherd says it's time to move on, it's time to move on. But sometimes the sheep don't want to move on. But say, I like it here. I like this pasture. I like this field. I don't like change. I don't want to change. I want to stay here. I don't want to leave this field. But when the shepherd says it's time to move on, it's because the place you're at can't nourish you anymore. And so it's time to move on. He says, I've got another place that's going to provide for you. I will feed you there. I will make you lie down, and I will lead you down the right path. Sometimes you don't want to leave the field you're in because you don't see how that field can damage you, but God does. So we can get to the point. We need to get to the point where we trust the shepherd. And when the shepherd moves us, we need to trust he knows what he's doing. You don't know why God moved you from that job to the one you have now, but God does. You don't know why God moved you from that ministry to the ministry you're at now, but God does. Because he has something for you. He had a reason for it. He had something that you couldn't see. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. There's an old hymn. And there's a line in it that says, in heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear. With the Lord as your shepherd, you don't have to fear change. You don't. Because the shepherd will always lead you down the right path. He doesn't make mistakes. Number three, the good shepherd leads us for his name's sake. For his name's sake. It's so easy for us to pass over that little phrase, but I don't want to pass over it. I want to examine it. I want to pick it apart. I want to look at it. What does he mean by that? For your name's sake. How can I be sure that the shepherd will lead me correctly? How can I be sure that my shepherd will lead me all the way home? What promise, what assurance do I have of that? You've come to valleys in your life. You've come to dark valleys. You've come to depressing times. Sometimes you feel like you want to give up. Sometimes you feel like you can't move on. Sometimes you feel like God has given up on you. And in those times, you need to think about these words. For your name's sake. You see, that's why the shepherd buys the flock. That's why he births the flock. God does it for his name's sake. Ezekiel 36:22, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned. Isaiah 43:25, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. What does this mean? Well, take Paul in his early life. Paul in his early life, he was a blasphemer. He was an accuser. He was a persecutor. He was a murderer. He was a violent man. He said so in 1 Timothy 1:13. He said, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, look what he said three verses later. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus might demonstrate his perfect patience. In other words, God picked the worst person to show you how patient he is. That's why he did it. See, God didn't pick Paul for Paul's sake. God didn't pick Paul for Paul's sake. God picked Paul for his sake. Let me illustrate it further. If you marry someone for beauty, like why my wife married me, what do you do one day when the beauty fades? If you marry someone for money, what do you do one day when the money's gone? If you marry someone because they're charming, what happens when life gets hard and the charm goes away? See, God didn't choose you because there's something lovable in you. And we get mad at that. Man, God, no, God saw, he saw some potential in me. He saw something in me. That's, you know, he saw that I was lovable. That's why he chose me. Okay? Well, if that's true, what happens when you're not lovable anymore? What happens if he chose to love you? What if he chose to love you because you're beautiful? What happens when you're not beautiful anymore? Let me tell you something. You and I sometimes can get unlovable very, very quickly. We can. What happens when we persistently disobey and go against God and go our own way? We can go from beautiful to ugly very quickly. But the good news is that God didn't pick you for your sake. He did it for His name's sake. The good shepherd has staked His own name and His own reputation on bringing you home. He said, my sheep will never perish. I will not lose one. That's what he said. See, what God is doing in your life right now, he's doing for his name's sake. It's his grace. It's his patience. It's his faithfulness. It's his forgiveness that's put on full display forever through what he will make of you. That's why he's never going to give you up. That's why he's never going to let you down. No angel is going to look down from heaven one day and say, oh man, look at that sheep. That's a shame, man. That sheep wandered off. It's not going to make it home. It's a pity that sheep is not going to make it anywhere because it was too weak. No, that's not how it's going to work. God has given His word. Every sheep that has been bought into the flock, every sheep that has been born into the flock will be brought safely home. There will not be one missing. And one day when we stand in heaven, fully sanctified and fully glorified, we will be testaments of His praise and glory forever. The strongest assurance that you have is that the good shepherd has put his own name and hung his own reputation on safely leading you home. And that's despite everything you and I do to try to mess it up. That's despite our many sins, despite our many wanderings, despite the enemies that attack us, despite the people who want to persecute us, despite the plagues, the doubts that plague our minds, you will arrive safely home because the honor of the shepherd hangs on it. It's a wonderful thing to say the Lord is my shepherd, to know that He leads you, and one day you will arrive in His presence. And one day in His presence, you will be safe from all your enemies. All the dark valleys will be behind you. And on that day, He will still be your shepherd. And He will still lead you forever. What's that day going to look like? Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Years ago, a man walked up to a shepherd in Scotland and asked him, have you ever lost sheep? And he said, no, not my own. And he was surprised by that, and he pressed back and he said, all your years of the shepherd, you never had a sheep wander off? He said, no, I didn't say that. I said, I never lost one. See, because when a sheep wanders off, there's no river I won't cross. There's no hill I won't climb. and there's no bush I won't dig in to try to find my sheep. And yes, I've had them wandered off, but every single one of them, I've brought them home. And that's what David's trying to tell us. That's the picture that he gives us. You and I may wander, we may stumble, we may get stuck in the thorns, but the Good Shepherd's name is on the line, and he will not allow even one of his sheep to be lost. Not because we hold tight to him, but because he holds tight to us. One day you will look back over the hills and valleys of your life. You will see the path that you navigated. And you'll realize that every green pasture, every still water, every dark valley, every right path was his leading. And when you finally see him face to face, you will say, "The Lord really is my shepherd. He has never failed me." Every head bowed, every eye closed. The shepherd owns you, and the shepherd leads you. Are you open to his leading? Just because you're saved, just because you're Christian, doesn't mean that you don't still wander off by yourself. That doesn't mean that you don't go out and try to live your own life and get lost in sin and try to do things your own way, and you backslide, you get away, and you stop praying, you stop spending time in the Word. You go off and you get lost in a thicket. Well, maybe today the shepherd's voice is calling you back. Calling you back to the place you once were. Calling you back to the Word. Calling you back to prayer. Calling you back to that relationship. Maybe you're in here today and you don't know that you're even part of the flock. Maybe you're in here today and you don't know that if you died you'd go to heaven or not. Well, today you can know that. You can come to this altar and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know that you're on your way to heaven. But for the flock of God in here today, have you wandered away? Have you got stuck in doing things your own way? Going down your own path? Shepherd's calling you home. He's coming to find you. Will you go? Will you come back? Now, every single one of us aren't where we need to be. There's every one of us, we have improvements we can make. Maybe you're going through a tough time. Maybe it does feel like you're in the dark and alone and God has forgotten about you. You've got an obstacle in front of you that's as big as the Red Sea, and you don't see how you can make it through. You've got to put your trust in the shepherd. You've got to keep him in the windshield. You've got to trust that even though you can't see his footprints, you have to trust that he is there. And even though you don't know the reason why he's making this change in your life, you have to trust that the shepherd knows what he's doing. Let's put our trust in the shepherd today to lead us. And let us today surrender to that leading. And that's what I want all of you today to do. Surrender this morning afresh to his leading in your life. I'm going to pray and our invitation will begin. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, this is such a beautiful song. Psalm 23 has comforted people for 3,000 years. Lord, it's all about you. You are the good shepherd. You own us. And Lord, you lead us. Help us this morning to surrender to that leading. Be with our invitation. In Jesus Christ's precious name, I pray.